Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mark Hockman.
Boca represent.
At my age, there is no greater feeling than complete evacuation.
Channing Crowder.
We got Venus. Venus Williams here. Venus, what's up?
Hey, beat it.
Alejandro Solana.
By the way, great reference by Cleveland at the Suit Tonight.
Fiberglass.
This is a sports adjacent talk show.
Who's Jason?
Sports.
Mount Rushmore of nuts.
I had a skin graft from my butt to my foot.
I'm Batman.
You bloat?
Oh, I bloat.
Lieutenant Dan, ice cream.
More sports.
And all the smoking that...
Meow.
What do you want to do to the Oreo, man?
The most sports.
I'm pretty sure if I was on a plane that was going down, I could land it.
I try to tell you, man, y'all don't respect my gangster, man.
The Hockman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
All right. We have a lot of stuff going on right now.
Yes.
Okay? A lot. And we're going to juggle it all. And then there's an added little element. First of all, Mike McDaniel is speaking to the media right now. He is having his press conference. It started at 1:45. But because Dono and Dan Day and Marcos were ill-prepared and didn't know that sports were going on or that our show starts at 2. I mean, Solana, put your foot down, as bad as it might be. As bad as your knee is.
What foot he's going to put down? Better be that left. Right ain't worth a damn.
No, but Mike McDaniel is speaking right now. So we could join it live here, but he's been speaking for like 20 minutes, or we can roll on it, which we have been, and air it for you in its entirety in the 3 o'clock hour, which is my choice.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Can you pot it up for a second just to see what he's saying?
You know that the shape that he was in doesn't stray from you far, you know, again, from the human element. So I think you do have to do that to protect people against themselves in some way, shape, or form.
Coach, I know you talked about the timing of it, but in an earlier question, is there a possibility with respect to long term that he won't play the rest of the year? Is that or anything that you all have given thought to?
Yeah, I can't be or the most honest and forthright I could be is I literally have no timetable or even thought to it that feels that's where I would feel irresponsible is even thinking about it. I just want him.
All right, you know what? Let's listen to it. It's an entirety, so we don't have the context of what he's been asked before, which I'm sure the whole thing is about Tua.
Yeah.
We're going to have today, Brady Quinn's going to join us today. I'm curious what his thoughts are. Dr. Chuck Metzger, our show physician, he will join us with his thoughts because he's the one that originally texted me last night when Tua's fingers got rigid and kind of misshapen. I forget what it's called, but it's a syndrome for a neurological injury, which is what he had last night. He had a concussion, I'm guessing. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a doctor, and there are...
Oh, there's a lot of doctors
obviously
out there right now.
We are surrounded by a lot of doctors. So, I am not one, but there are a lot of people who are, and, a Dolphins fan, 77134 on Twitter, one of the greatest physicians of all time.
These people are crazy.
I mean, honestly. Josina Anderson at CBS HQ. She's CBS Sports, right, isn't she?
I believe so.
Oh! I mean, wait till I read you her tweets last night. I just don't get this. So, we'll talk about it today. you know, it was a horrific injury because you never want to see a guy that you care about in a position where you know something's wrong with his head just by the way he was comporting himself. But the disconnect that I'm having is it seemed pretty typical of a hit or injury that you see in the NFL on any given weekend. Again, you don't always have that hand thing, but people go down with concussions all the time. I'm assuming he has a concussion. A lot of people thought he had a concussion after Sunday's game. But I do think the collective reaction, and I'm going to preface it. I told you beforehand I would say this a million times today.
Yeah.
I'm going to preface everything with this. No one is arguing that, head injury, Schmed injury. No one's saying that.
No.
If you could figure out a way to get rid of all head injuries from the NFL, the NHL, professional boxing, mm-hmm. MMA, if you could get broken bones out of the MMA. Like, I mean, listen, if you could legislate everything away that was a danger to any athlete, you obviously would. I feel like there has been a wild collective overreaction. My guess is Tua will tell you the same thing, by the way.
Yep.
I'm not certain what has happened from the moment he went down till right now at 10 after 2 on Friday, because this thing seems to be snowballing out of control, in my opinion, and I'm just feeling a little bit of a disconnection.
You hit it on the head with the optics of it, and the whole world was watching this Thursday night's only
right,
game on.
That too.
And the hands, like that
right.
turned my stomach.
It's horrifying. I really got nauseous, like, because you didn't know, and then you found out his extremities were fine. You got a halftime report. He's moving his extremities. Solano was on the team flight. Tua's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Tua was fine walking around. Like, he's back in South Florida. He traveled with the team.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to say it wasn't that bad because we know with concussions.
It was bad.
And this is the thing, too, and I'll preface it. My thing is the Junior Seau situation made me think totally different about
sure.
head stuff.
Absolutely.
When a friend of mine, a close friend of mine, end up doing what he did to himself, committing suicide because of the head injury. So I don't diminish any of that. The two hits that Tua took in the Bills game and the Bengals game were football plays. When you play football, you know that can happen. It wasn't even head-to-head. His head hit the ground. Like, that was my thing. It wasn't devastating stuff.
Mm-mm.
It was hits that happen when there are 290-pound guys that run 4.4s running around. They get paid to tackle the quarterback, and they tackled our quarterback. So that's the – to your point, the thing about making this more than just a football injury.
Freak injury. Like,
it's what it is. It's a football injury.
Again, you saw a little whiplash when he got whipped around, and there was no penalty on the play. I could argue that there should have been because of the whip-around motion. But beyond that, if his hands didn't go into that shape.
Yeah.
Then I don't think you'd have as much rigmarole right now as you do. But one of the things we also love to do in this society is assign blame everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We love to talk about how you did this wrong and you did that wrong. We'll go through it today. We'll go through it today as to what the Dolphins and the NFL are saying transpired since the Buffalo game and what transpired yesterday. And look, if you choose not to believe the independent neurologist and not to believe the Dolphins' own medical staff and not to believe Mike McDaniel and not to believe Tua Tagovailoa and not to believe the University of Cincinnati neurological doctors who looked at him yesterday. If you know better, if you think it is a conspiracy of all those units, I'm not really going to be the show for you today.
It's ridiculous.
Because if you think when he got, because that was the Josina Anderson tweet that drove me crazy last night. Miami Dolphins announced, or the NFL or someone, that he had been released from the hospital. He'll travel home with the team. And she was outraged. Why would they release him so soon? And people started jumping on her on Twitter saying, you think that someone called the neurological surgeon at University of Cincinnati and said, let him go. Like they have no ties whatsoever to the Dolphins. And as Dr. Chuck will probably tell you in the 4 o'clock hour, they ran scans. They looked to see if there's internal bleeding, swelling. There's actual tests that they run.
Mm-hmm.
They do cognitive exams. Why would you keep him in the hospital if he was fine? Everything you saw last night, in my opinion, and I'm understanding. He had a very bad concussion, would be my guess. But everything you saw with him being stretchered off was precautionary.
Yeah.
It wasn't because he wouldn't have been able to move. It was precautionary, which is what you want the league to do 100%. In that situation. So as a precaution, you do all that. And then when you're able to check it out at the hospital and do the scans and the cognitive tests and he's fine, you go, all right, glad we took the precautionary maneuvers. But he's fine.
And that's the thing, too. And the last one, the Cincinnati doctors, they're not paid by the NFL. Because I've heard that, too. And it makes sense. This whole, like, almost an NFL Illuminati. Well, they're controlling so much stuff. The NFL concussion protocol is not up to par. I can ride with you on that concept. If you're letting Tua play, and the story just came out that he got tested every day since Sunday, and he passed all the tests. If the NFL protocols tests aren't good enough, I will have that conversation. Change the protocols. But the blame to be put on the Dolphins when the NFL created the protocol so they can control it? The Dolphins are out of it. Like, the NFL sitting in those independent doctors to look at Tua. Those independent doctors have to make that decision. The NFL can be questioned here, and I'll be with you and we'll talk. The people that are trying to put all this blame, we're going to listen to Mike McDaniels at 3 o'clock. For them to say Mike McDaniel was pressing Tua to play, that doesn't make any sense. It's when you tear up your knee. It's when you dislocate your shoulder. It's when anything happens in football. And I've had a bunch of injuries, split my foot open. It wasn't Tony Sperano evaluating my ACL. It was doctors saying, hey, you're structurally able to play football. Are you going to play? Yes, I'm going to play.
And by the way, as a player and a fan, you want the doctors making those decisions, not the head coach and the coordinators and the management of the team. Like, I mean, there's a reason. Now, am I telling you a doctor never gets it wrong? Of course not. Yeah. We have myriad examples of doctors getting it wrong. I get that. I'm telling you.
I trust them more than a head coach.
There were a lot of steps, though, taken with Tua. We are not minimizing head injuries. It's significant. Crowder told you. I mean, he was good friends with Junior Seau.
Yes.
So we're not minimizing it. But I am trying to rein in what I think is an out-of-control reaction to NFL player being concussed on the field, which we've seen before. I do think there's something at play here.
And we're going to see again.
And we will see again. And by the way, if you're not prepared to see it again with Tua, you probably should stop watching football because that dude is a tough Hawaiian dude. You think he's a little flower? It's a big, tough Hawaiian football player.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's going to be back out on the field one day, and he's going to get sacked, and he's going to bang his head. And if you're going to react every time that happens with who allowed him out on the field, you probably shouldn't be watching that sport. I'm being real. I'm telling you, if I could vote right now to outlaw any kind of head injuries in sports, I'd vote for it.
Do I
think head injuries are a major problem? Yes. Do I think they've made great advancements with acknowledging head injuries and trying to mitigate them? Yes. Do they have further to go? Yes.
Can they stop them?
No.
While playing football?
No.
You can't do it. You bring a ball up. Boxing. There's no point. I'm paid to punch somebody in the head. Football, I'm paid to knock this grown man down. And we're moving at 20 miles per hour, each of us, at different angles. It's not stopped. Hockey's crazy. They're on ice. They can't stop as fast. They are They're violent games. Now, when you play a violent game, violent things can happen to you. I understood that. Everybody, the 1,800 players in the NFL right now, if you're a player in the NFL and you honestly think, oh, I'm fine, I'll never get a concussion, you're so naive. You know that this game is violent, and that's why. Why do we wear helmets? Why do we wear shoulder pads? Let's put flags on. And I'm not saying, oh, toughen up. I'm not saying that at all.
No.
I'm saying what the game is and what the game has been for years. They're trying to, you know, legislate some of that out.
You know that you can't lead with your head anymore. I mean, they've done great advancements.
It wasn't helmet to helmet.
No, it was a hit.
So we're throwing flags on helmet to ground now? Or do we have to teach people how to land? Because that dude that grabbed him is a gigantic defensive tackle. If he grabbed me or you, Hawk, he's going to throw us 45 yards down the field. Mm-hmm. He grabbed Tua and threw him to the ground, doing his job, and Tua's head hit the ground. And it's happened a million times in football. I've watched it a million times happen. And the reaction to what happened to Tua is where everybody is just taken back by it. It was a football play. Should Tua have been playing? That's on the NFL.
That's the question. But again, so if I tell you, because Judy Batista from NFL Network, they talked with several people today, but one of the things that she tweeted out was Tom Pelissero tweeted, speaking with Judy Batista on NFL Network, NFL Chief Medical Officer Dr. Alan Sills says, Tua Tagovailoa was checked for concussion symptoms every day since Sunday, points out that the independent neurological expert had to clear him. Once the review is done, the results will be released publicly. Again, if he's being checked every day, he wobbled walking off the field on Sunday. If he's being checked every day, remember, he returned and played that game. Mm-hmm. He was fine in the post-game press conference. He was actually great in the second half of the game, won the game. Yep. If he's been checked every day, if you know that the independent neurological expert was checking him every day and cleared him to play, again, does it mean that the protocol should be changed? Maybe. But there are no fingers to point blame because they're doing exactly what was laid out. Now, if he had never been seen by a physician or a neurologist since that hit and they skirted everything and that's what we find out, well, then shame on everyone. But I don't think that that's what we're going to find out. And like you talk about the NFL Illuminati, if you think Tua Tagovailoa is so important to the NFL that this is all some sort of conspiracy to keep him on the field, why didn't the NFL Illuminati step in last season and the season before when they were playing Jacoby Brissett and Ryan Fitzpatrick over him?
Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense. People love to blame. People love conspiracy theories. But anyway, we'll talk about it. Brady Quinn's going to join us. I want to get headlines real quick. Solana just got back early this morning from Cincinnati. You got real quick headlines, Solana?
Yeah, guys. Other than all the Tua Tagovailoa updates, I think Hawk kind of summed everything up here that we know. Plus, we'll get more from Mike McDaniel in the 3 o'clock hour. These headlines are driven by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Supercenter. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford, we know trucks. Just some other local stuff, guys. Marlins did win last night 4-2 over the Brewers. 3 more in Milwaukee. Tonight's first pitch is at 8:10. Inter Miami plays tonight at Toronto FC. 3 games remaining, including tonight. They currently hold the final playoff spot, so a big test tonight for Inter Miami.
Somebody asked, what if Josina Anderson was a super follower? Well, then I take back everything.
That easy?
That easy. $2.99. What's my price? $2.99.
You got to put a value on yourself.
The Panthers did lose 5-2 versus the Hurricanes in preseason. They play again against Carolina tomorrow at 1. Those are your headlines.
All right. Very good.
Your weather brought to you by the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Right now in South Florida, partly cloudy. Tonight the lows will drop into the upper 70s, and we're thinking of everybody on the West Coast.
It was nice today. It was 78 and sunny. Woo! It was so nice.
After the storm goes through, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Great we got fishing. It today.
Yeah.
All right. Brady Quinn will join us in the next segment.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Well, happy St. Patrick's Day to you, my young lass, Brady Quinn.
Hawk and Crowder.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Brady Quinn is with us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. I like talking to Brady Quinn about this stuff because I do think that he has more of a common sense approach than much of the... Oh, my God, this is continuing coverage of the most horrific thing people have seen in our lifetimes. But I don't know. Is that, like, I haven't talked to Brady about this beforehand, so I don't know. He may be completely outraged at someone. But Brady Quinn, our friend and broadcaster extraordinaire, he's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Hello, Brady.
Hey, guys. Sorry, I was just headbanging out there to Nickelback, so I think I might have given myself a slight concussion as we start off this interview. So I don't want to be held accountable for anything I say in the next 5, 10 minutes.
Understood. Understood. We will point all the fingers at Nickelback, who now I'm starting to believe we might want to point the fingers at them for Tua.
Maybe.
Tell us your thoughts, Brady. So there's a whole bunch of collective outrage, and it's pointed at doctors and the Dolphins and Mike McDaniel. It's pointed, I think, at football in general. There's a lot of outrage going on. So I'm just curious how you perceive what we witnessed from Tua Sunday in Buffalo up until last night when he did have a horrific head injury.
I think the tough part for me is twofold. The first is just from my own experience. Suffering concussions and really, to be quite frank, you know, covering up one so I could be active to have the opportunity to play the following week and calling it a neck injury. And so I understand how this process works. It's why when I saw the initial injury on Sunday, I thought to myself, sure, call it a back injury, whatever you want, but I know exactly what he's thinking. You know, this is a big year for Tua. He's in a position to be able to, you know, go out there and earn himself potentially a huge contract. And he's also got a warrior mentality. We tend to forget, like, this is the guy who opted to get surgery to come back sooner to play Joe Burrow back when he was at Alabama. And they literally basically put the equivalent of a bike chain in his ankle to come back faster from a high ankle sprain to play in that game when he was still hobbling around on one leg, still going throw for throw. So Tua's a warrior. He's got that sort of mentality to him. I'm not trying to say exactly what happened. I'm just telling you from my experience, you know, I was able to get around that protocol and all of that with the way I described my injuries to the athletic staff, to my team doctors. And unfortunately, I had, you know, a worse concussion later on that season. And that was where I kind of had to come to the realization that it's my fault for putting myself out there and in that position, being more vulnerable and then eventually suffering one where I was out for about 2 to 3 weeks with that. So, you know, look, this is part of the deal. This is what happens in football. You're going to have these unfortunate types of injuries and head injuries in particular. I think the interesting thing to me is how the Dolphins would have handled all of this if Tua was already under contract for $100 million, or how this is handled any different because he's still trying to prove himself. And I think the bigger question over all of that is, should any of that ultimately matter? And I'm not naive enough to say that it does or doesn't, right? I mean, at this point, if you're paying a guy $100 million, you're probably taking better care of him at that point, or I would think you'd be more cautious about the investment that you've already made as opposed to a guy who's still trying to prove himself.
And Brady, to that point, because you said you found a way to finagle the system, I guess it is, and you know, let's say Tua did the same. Whose job is it? Because that's what people to do is find this person to blame. Whose job is it to not let you say a concussion is a neck injury? Because everybody, I think the Dolphins with these independent, you know, physicians, the Dolphins aren't at blame here because the NFL took over this evaluation when they made the concussion protocol.
Well, I think the toughest part about something like, you know, a head injury, concussion, you know, TBI, whatever you want to describe, different head injuries, is that they implement this independent neurologist who's got to pass you. And I'll never forget having to go talk to a guy that I've never met before in my entire life that's an incredibly smart human being, but has no background or anything about who I am as a person or, you know, anything. And yet I've got to then go have a conversation with him about, you know, my you know, medical history and my head injury. You know, there's one side of me that's like, it seems incredibly impersonal. I don't think it's the best way of doing it or discovering if there's an actual issue there. And there's another part of me that's like, well, it was easier to dupe that guy. All he's looking at is a piece of paper and maybe some imaging or whatever else he's looking at. And it's maybe easier to get around someone who doesn't know the type of player he is. Like, I know plenty of guys who played through injuries or played through head injuries, and your team doctors knew, like, hey, we got to protect this guy from himself. And I think with an independent neurologist who's a part of this equation, that guy doesn't really know much of anything outside of, like, his medical background, probably being a genius, but he doesn't actually know the individual and what makes them tick and have kind of witnessed how they've played through these sorts of things in the past. So I think that's another flaw in this evaluation process.
Brady Quinn is with us. The reality is, though, because we're dealing with humans and, you know, I think a lot of people, for whatever reason, over the last couple of years, kind of think Tua is like this delicate flower, and they forget, like you say, this dude's a warrior. Mm-hmm. Like, you're dealing with humans, professional athletes on top of that. It's pretty hard to legislate out a warrior's mentality, which is what you're suggesting almost, right? Because if you want to protect someone from themselves, it's one thing. Who's on NFL or Amazon last night? Alex Whitworth? You had him on your Pivot show.
Andrew
Whitworth. Yeah. He was saying that he once, you know, had a head injury, went back in the game because he wanted to play, and his teammate said to him, there's something wrong with you. Like, I'm getting you off the field. And he's like, and I'm glad somebody stepped in and did that for me. But Tua, for all intents and purposes, after the injury on Sunday, when he came back in the second half, he looked great out there. And then in the postgame right. press conference, he sounded great, seemed to have all his faculties. And then you get to the independent neurologist, so whether he knows him or doesn't know him, or even the team physicians who know him and they're around him, if he appears okay and he says he's okay, it's pretty hard to legislate that away, no?
No, it is. And I think just, you know, like, I have a foundation that works with veterans, and you see veterans that deal with all sorts of different traumatic brain injuries, TBI, concussions and things like that when they're actually in the battlefield. And the one interesting thing that from the research and people I've talked to in regard to some of our foundational efforts is they've talked about how there's some soldiers who will be on the battlefield, there'll be an IED that hits, and there's some that are right there next to the same guy. One will suffer a concussion, one won't. You know, one will end up suffering from TBI, one won't. And there's almost maybe even a genetic makeup component. I mean, there's so little that we still know about the human brain and how it operates. But to your point about the warrior mentality with all that, I think it's tough because most players look at this as a window of opportunity to not only do and play the game you love, but, you know, be able to make life-changing money and have the opportunity to do that. And I think you ask a lot of guys, you know, are they willing to sacrifice their body or maybe what their life looks like down the road in order to secure that? And they'd say yes. I mean, that's part of their motivation behind the game in general. There's other guys who get motivated. They do it for fans. They do it for all sorts of other reasons. But I think that's something that it's almost like a boxing corner, right? I mean, you train this guy to literally walk into a fight, and you know he's going to get hit. You know he's going to get knocked down, you know, potentially. But, you know, you've got to have maybe that guy that knows when to throw in the white towel. And I think the toughest thing is most boxers never want that. I mean, they'll be getting their butt kicked, and yet the second their corner throws in the towel, it's almost like they turn on the corner to get in a fight because they want to fight their way out of it. And I think that's the hardest thing is, you know, how do you protect a player from that warrior mentality or from himself? Because I think all of us, you know, want to fight back and we want to like try to get back into the game or finish the game in the case of, you know, this past Sunday. But then you see obviously what can potentially open yourself up to with what happened Thursday night.
And Brady, it's crazy that Hawk told the Andrew Whitworth story because I heard that as well. But there were plenty of times when I played with Zach Thomas that he would hit somebody and then tell me to call the huddle because I figured out later he was blurry and couldn't see the coach on the sideline signaling in, so he would send me up to call it. And then it was a game in New Orleans where I didn't know where to line up, and Zach just pushed me in the B-gap, CC, B-gap. And I stood there and just played off instinct because that warrior mentality's there. You made it to the league. I'm playing next to Zach Thomas, Jason Taylor, Junior Seau. I'm not leaving the game. And that was that mentality there. And just to what y'all are saying about Brady, it's – I don't know how you legislate that out of football.
It's almost impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reality of it, because humans are humans. And then, you know, professional athletes are a different level. I mean, I'm around it because I'm around professional athletes for my career. But I know the difference in mentality. I mean, hell, I'm looking at Solana through the glass. I mean, the guy's on his second knee surgery, Brady, in 18 months. I mean, he's got like a little clicking going on in his knee. I'm sorry, Solana, but I'm staring right at you.
Erroneous.
Well, it's not erroneous.
Bring me in here.
I mean, I think the hard thing, too, is for some guys, you know, that's what separates, you know, them from the rest, is their ability to play through those injuries, their ability to play through that and have that sort of toughness. And they're viewed as that by their peers, like they're respected for it. And so then it's almost like you don't want to show any weakness, or you don't want to be the guy that's not out there because you're a leader or you're in that position. I mean, Crowder, you talk about Zach Thomas, a guy who should be in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at a guy like that and just go, yeah, he probably doesn't want to ever come off the field for any reason. You know, for that in particular, right? A guy who's looked at who was undersized but played always bigger than he was. I mean, he didn't want to give anyone any reason to doubt him or say, yeah, see, he gets hurt all the time. He's too small. I mean, there's always something that, you know, I think you're kind of fighting in that regard. And, you know, football players, you know, that's part of their identity. It's part of why the sport is different than every other sport out there, because there's a legitimate element of physical toughness that I think you have to prove and showcase. And I think that's the fine line right now, is where do you draw that line between how people are viewed as being physically tough and playing the game, but making sure you're doing what's right for that individual and for that player's own safety.
And Brady, it wasn't a helmet to helmet under the chin hit. Either one of them, the Bills game when Milano hit him, or last night, it was that swinging him around with the head hitting the ground, or pushing him with the head hitting the ground. As a quarterback, and I know you've taken those hits 100 times, is there a way to protect yourself when a 290-pound man jams you in the chest or swings you around his whole body and slams you on the ground?
Yeah, don't let it happen. I mean, you look at that play in particular, yeah. Right? It was like a move-the-pocket play, held on to the football too long. You look at some of the guys who never suffer or didn't suffer those types of hits and injuries. I mean, eventually you play long enough, it's going to happen. But Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, guys who the Mannings get the ball out of the hand quick. Now, you got to be good enough, obviously, to overcome that, throwing footballs away and living to play another down. But I mean, guys who tend to hold on to the football longer as quarterbacks, unless you're Lamar Jackson, usually that's not a good thing. Like, usually for your offense, there's not something better that's going to happen. You want to get that ball out of your hand quick and prevent that hit from ever even taking place. So, I mean, that's the tough part. So for some players, that's part of their game. It's like when things break down, that's when they can become special, and that's when they can create and improvise. But you also, you know, potentially are subjecting yourselves to getting hit. You don't have the protection of the pocket or the protection of the actual timing of that play.
Do you have any, just out of curiosity, any lingering concussion syndromes that you deal with to this day?
No. I had a really bad one, a scary one in college, where I played the entire second half of the game and literally have no recollection of it whatsoever. I mean, it wasn't until the very end of the game I came out, started puking on the sidelines, and went through this like repetitive broken record of, like, you know, just saying and asking the same things over and over and over again. And I don't have any recollection of it, but I was told it secondhand and spent the night in the hospital and all that. My dad was there with me, and he was pretty freaked out by it. And he served in Vietnam. So I was kind of sitting there when I woke up, finally came conscious, and he's looking at me. I'm like, can I call mom? He goes, I don't think that's a good idea. She's pretty scared right now. You've called her 6 times saying the same exact thing. And he was like, at some point, he's like, you know, you'll come to consciousness. That's what the doctors are telling us. So, you know, I think everyone experiences it in their own way. When you go through a concussion, you go through some of those injuries, but I've been lucky, at least at this point, I haven't suffered any long-term effects. Although I'm sure my wife would say otherwise.
Scary, man. Scary as hell, right? Head injuries are just, you know, watching it last night, like, you could feel just, you know, your stomach turning when he had those hand movements. Yeah, it was really.
I just drank my way out of those.
That's probably, I think, what they recommend in most countries. Man, yeah, I think.
Like, you're woozy, so right. Just keep getting more woozy with Hennessy.
There's several medical societies, I think, just say drink your way out of it. which medical societies are those, Brady? You probably know that better than I do.
I mean, it depends on which ones in particular you're talking about. There's a Coors Light one. There's a Miller.
What's the best way to drink yourself out of it? Is it Hams? Is Hams a good way to drink yourself out of it?
Yeah, it all depends on whatever your taste is.
You played in Cleveland. Wow, I'm going to let you go. I know you have to go, and we have to go as well. You played in Cleveland, though. You like Skyline Chili? Because I know they're all over Ohio.
They are, but it's more of a Cincinnati thing.
Right.
So I'm not sure what we're talking about here, Hawk. But, yeah, Skyline was the chili of choice. Gold Star was its competitor, but in my opinion doesn't live up to what Skyline Chili is. So I was a Skyline guy.
Well, you like Skyline, because I get a lot of heat from Crowder, and Solana was in Cincinnati yesterday, and he went to Skyline, and I happen to love it. I've never been to one in Cincinnati, only the one in South Florida, but I love it, and they think it's like dog.
I make too much money to eat.
Oh, it's its own thing. It's its own thing. I mean, you can't,
chili?
like people are like, oh, it's not chili. I'm like, well, it's not really chili. It's like it's Skyline Chili. It's its own, you know, version of that. Just appreciate it for what it is and move on with your life.
The big plate of cheese and the spaghetti
noodles. Yeah. You gotta get mounds of cheese on there.
Oh my God. Mm. Talk about it. All right, there you go. Brady Quinn, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for making time for us today. We do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Always fun.
There you go, Brady Quinn. And you kind of changed, right, Solana, on Skyline Chili after you had it yesterday. You were kind of like, you know what? Might not be as bad as I remember from the first time.
It was definitely better. It was, Crowder. I don't know if it's as good as Hawk makes it out to be.
It's good.
But I
mean,
I had a better experience.
It's a once-in-a-while treat.
Fast food chili. Just the concept of that is ridiculous.
I mean,
ridiculous.
It's table service. I don't know if it's fast food.
It's back in a big vat.
Is Denny's fast food?
Yes.
No,
I'm not eating Denny's
it's
either.
It's a dining room. It's, you know.
It smells like mop water.
Yeah, but that's part of the charm. Part of the appeal.
You're not eating Denny's?
I don't do Denny's.
Moons
I mean,
over Miami?
No.
But Denny's at the right time. Like Denny's late night sopping up that Hams or that Pabst.
If you're doing that, you got to hit the Waffle House.
Right. There were no Waffle Houses where I was, though. And there's really no Waffle Houses down here either, right? When you went to FIU, there was no Waffle House. It was probably Denny's, right?
No, there is no Waffle House near me.
There's only one in Davie.
In Davie.
Yeah, that's it.
Griffin
or they made the one now on 441 near the old station, 441 near the stadium.
Oh, yeah, there's a Waffle House there. See?
That would be a good late night stop, though, now that you say it.
Oh, yeah.
That would be way preferable to Denny's. No question.
It's off the chain by 2 a.m.
Yeah, smothered and covered. And the hash browns, too. Huh?
What happened?
All right.
Coming up next on the Hawk and Crowder Show. Meow.
Hawk and Crowder.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, 3 o'clock hour. Solana brought us some Skyline Chili back from Cincinnati again in the cans.
Yes.
But you bought the, because I remember, I think the last time you brought us the cans last year, you got it at the airport. This you got at Skyline Chili because the little oyster crackers are in there too, right?
Little oyster crackers, the actual Skyline Chili hot sauce, which I learned yesterday, you have to put in the chili.
Because we saw it when you tweeted it out, and there was that like bottle of hot sauce. So you squirted that on the plate?
All over it.
And it was good?
It made it better.
Huh. Are we doing that tonight?
Are you going to take one? You going to take one of the cans? I'm going to take one of the cans.
You forced me last year to open that can up.
Lori and I remember, did she make spaghetti or rice?
No, she made potatoes.
You're right. She baked potatoes. And then made the Skyline Chili. We put it on the potatoes. And then 4 pounds of shredded cheese. That was so good. I may have to do that again.
I microwaved mine and spoon-fed it to my kids.
Now I remember.
Yeah.
Yep. And didn't your daughter say, like, Daddy, I don't like this chili.
I think she called it meat soup or something. We don't even chili at the Crowder's house.
I enjoy a good bowl of chili.
Crowder, you're so starved for meat. You're taking down that entire can tonight.
That's true. He's going to eat it in the 4 o'clock hour. He's going to suck it out with a straw.
You got a microwave in there, don't we?
So anyway, talking about the Dolphins game today, we're talking about Tua. We're going to play for you. So just about an hour ago, Mike McDaniel started his press conference. Usually we air it live on Mondays at 4:30. Obviously, the day after press conference, though, today happened today, and it was at 1:45, and we did not air it. The station didn't air it because we were changing over to our show. So we rolled tape on it. It's about 20 minutes. But it really is, I think, worth listening to because everyone wants to know, do you take any blame for Tua? Like, Mike McDaniel, I think, is a fairly introspective guy.
Yeah.
And you'll hear how he reacts to some very difficult questions.
It's a 305.
Dolly.
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 God bless. Dolly.
Dolly.
Thank you, Jimmy. 305 Alarm on Hockman & Crowder is presented by Anajar and Levine, accident attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE, 1-800-747-3733. But I saw one quote, I think, from Mike McDaniel. There's been a bunch tweeted around, but I saw one from Mike Garofalo, NFL Network. Dolphins coach Mike McDaniel asked if he would do anything differently. I have 100% conviction in our process regarding our players. This is a player-friendly organization. There was no medical indication from all resources there was anything regarding the head. McDaniel adds, he, quote, wouldn't have been able to live with myself if he put Tua Tagovailoa on the field prematurely following a head injury. McDaniel says Tua asked when he can play again. Says he replied, stop this right now. Don't even think about a game. Let's worry about you and your head and being a healthy human being. We'll worry about playing football later. So we're going to play you the entire press conference here in a few moments so that everybody can hear Mike McDaniel and all the questions that were asked of him today. I don't think many of the questions were game-related. right? I think they were all Tua related. I haven't heard much people
talk period about the game.
Mm-mm.
About T. Higgins eating us up and Xavier Howard getting roasted.
Listen, Xavier Howard had a groin injury, went out. I was texting with some friends yesterday, and I was saying, hey, you know, because they were, oh, after the game, same old Dolphins. I go, Tua went out with an injury. Xavier Howard went out with an injury. They were on the road on a short week against a good Joe Burrow-led team. Honestly, they've had a bad season, but that doesn't make Cincinnati a bad team. And they're 3-1 after their first four games. Like, let's not get ahead of ourselves here.
And we're leading going into the fourth quarter with Tua, the starting quarterback.
Correct.
At the hospital. Not on the sideline. At the hospital.
There was one great pass from Teddy Bridgewater. I was like, holy hell, that's Teddy Bridgewater. Then he brought us back down to reality quickly. Yeah.
You know the interception hit the ground?
It did?
Yep. Go, I'll find it for you on Twitter. That interception hit the
ground. Really?
If they would have challenged that interception.
Did they have a challenge left?
Can't. You can't because on turnovers, the NFL reviews every single play.
And
so
they
you
missed it?
You can't throw a challenge. There's what? I don't know if it for sure hit the ground, but there is one angle that the TV camera or the Amazon Prime showed it after the fact. It looks like it hit the ground. So it was a little weird, right? Like this, it was very odd that the NFL didn't take a little longer to look at it.
They may not have an Amazon Prime subscription. Is that possible? Have we uncovered something? No, it's possible.
Amazon Prime paid the NFL to air their games.
And they forgot to subscribe. Couldn't even see the replays.
I'll show it to you. I've seen it two or three times.
Wow. Before.
Yep. And if that was, what was that, on the 20? That was in the red zone.
Yeah.
That was deep.
Yeah, you kind of felt like something might be happening here. It was like, I'm telling you, last night, I feel like we all have been through something together last night. Like anyone that watched that Dolphins game, whew, did we all run the myriad of emotions on that one? Wow.
Yep. And then inside the five, four chances.
Oh.
If Tua was there, do we score inside the five?
Like, yes. They changed the play calling. I don't think that they do. By the way, gambling-wise, did we have two winners last night? We had Ryan from Funky Buddha gave us Chase Edmonds to score a touchdown at plus 180. Do you remember the first touchdown possibility for Chase Edmonds? The corner of the end zone dropped the ball. And I was cursing.
I was cursing.
And then he ends up scoring on that little run there. Yeah. We cash that ticket. When Tua threw the interception, what was it, the second quarter? No, it was the first quarter, I think.
Early second quarter.
Tua throws the interception. And I say to myself, I said to my wife, I was watching with her, I go, you know, Tua always balls out after he throws an interception. Just something that I've watched over the last couple of years. Every time he throws an interception, he seems to have a good series afterwards. So I go on, I live bet it. I also shared this with my super followers, paid for the $2.99 right there. I'd like to welcome, by the way, brand new celebrity super follower, Victor Bermudez.
Hey.
Texted me this morning, I am super following you. I hope this isn't a waste of my money. I replied, it is.
I'm like, that's the way to get more followers.
Super follower. So I tweeted it out to them. I said, live bet the Dolphins to score on the next drive. It was plus 137, I think. And they ended up with a field goal. Yep. And, I was nervous when Sanders came out there because it was like 46 yards, I think. Yeah. And we cashed that ticket as well. So the only thing we didn't cash last night was Dolphins +3. But you did have a chance at the end. Anyway, I do want to listen to this Mike McDaniel press conference. Let's get headlines here real quick. Start out the 3 o'clock hour with Alejandro Solana, who is running on fumes.
This sports update is driven by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Supercenter. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford, we know trucks. Final score was 27-15. Dolphins lose their first game. I don't want to do the moral victories thing really quickly, but I will say, you lose Tua. You had the drop touchdown that Hawk just mentioned. You had the chance inside the five after Teddy hooked up with Tyreek Hill. And you miss an extra point. You get a field goal blocked. And all the inabilities to move the ball on the ground throughout the entire game and those third and shorts. All that being said, You had a chance to win the game. You're leading in the fourth. And Teddy Bridgewater, by the way, everybody was a little shaky after his appearance against Buffalo, that one series he had. Other than the interception, I think instilled a little bit of confidence.
He had a great scramble, too. Yeah. He had a scramble.
On that drive, that, third and 11.
I mean, 25 quarterbacks cannot figure their way out of that one. Mm-hmm. 30. I mean, it was yes. It was a great scramble.
If Tua ends up having to miss a couple games, which I imagine he might, I think most people are more confident now with Teddy Bridgewater than they were on Sunday after his one series against Buffalo.
Oh, and way more than Jacoby Brissett.
No doubt.
Way more. Teddy can play. Like, when he got in, I was saying it. I was like, listen. And everybody starts, oh, well, Teddy. Teddy's like a 10-year vet. We talked about this when y'all keep talking about this damn Skylar Thompson. I'm like, bro, Teddy Bridgewater.
I mean, he's not pre-injury Minnesota Teddy Bridgewater, but he's
hasn't had the chance yet.
Right. No, but I mean, he ain't that. But, I mean, it wasn't horrible yesterday. That long pass was great.
Yeah.
I mean, I was jumping up and down.
Bunch of first down throws, beautiful. So the first throw when he walked in the game, there was a Sheffield, beautiful 15-yard throw. Like, Teddy can play ball, y'all. This isn't panic time. Teddy can play football.
But to your point, Solana, we don't have to do moral victory. I get that. But you can look at the first four games of the season, say that they are 3-1 and feeling pretty good, other than the fact that your starting quarterback might be out for the season or something along those lines.
And even that wasn't a butt kicking.
No.
They can say it up by one.
You're on the road on a short week, and I'm telling you, even though they were 1-2 going in the game, that Cincinnati team is not a bad team.
You remember when Baltimore and the Patriots were beating us by 50?
That's right.
I don't think that's happening again.
Right.
Honestly.
I don't think Cincinnati's very good, by the way. Like, if the Dolphins do make the playoffs, which I expect them to do, hopefully Tua's healthy, and you end up having to meet Cincinnati, that's one of those teams where I'm saying – the Dolphins yesterday had a chance without Tua, and they could have beaten Cincinnati.
With Tua, they beat that team. Yeah, I don't have any doubts. They beat that team.
But T. Higgins had like 160 yards
with
receiving.
Tua and Xavier Howard, they
there
beat
we
that
go.
Team.
Byron Jones, too. He
with
comes
Tua,
back.
Xavier Howard, and Byron Jones, they beat that team.
Sam Madison
with
comes out
Tua,
of the
Tua, Xavier Howard, Byron Jones, Sam Madison.
Bat.
And George Blanda.
We didn't have the secondary guns to compete with their guns.
But Crowder, the defense literally played two games on Sunday. 91 possessions against Buffalo.
That's what I'm saying.
They're banged up.
They're on the road, short week. They had a really rough go of it on Sunday, the defense. Like, to be in that game at the end, I think, was a testament to how good this team is.
Yeah.
Not doing the moral victory thing, though. But, I mean, that was basically a W. They're 4-0.
No, but he's right. Honestly, with Tua and Xavier Howard, Byron Jones.
George Blanda.
Sam Madison, George Blanda, Jason Taylor, say, comes out of retirement.
You got any run left in you?
And Crowder for a couple of plays.
That goal line stop might have happened.
And Anthony Fasano. This team was that close.
He'd be set. Y'all want me or Zach?
Zach.
What'd you say now?
I'm talking about Krantz. I mean, I'm not like Krantz, Zach Taylor, Zach Thomas, and you.
I can't stand you.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Another one.
Hawk and Crowder.
Dr. Chuck Metzger, our friend, is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. For those who may not know, Dr. Chuck Metzger is a board-certified internist in Boca Raton. He's been the team doctor for FAU Athletics and chief of medicine at Boca Raton Regional Hospital. He is a clinical affiliate faculty member for FAU Medical School, and he's been in private practice in Boca Raton since 1999, 55 years. So you can follow him if you want on Twitter, at Chuck Metzger. He actually was watching the game last night. He tweeted immediately what was going on with Tua, just on from what he saw with his hands. Again, you can follow Chuck on Twitter, at Chuck Metzger. I know that it was not 55 years, by the way, starting in 99. Dr. Chuck is on the line. Hello, Dr. Metzger.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
So just explain at the beginning for people who didn't see your tweet last night, what was the hands in that awkward, you know, like rigid position? What is that called and what is that a sign of?
So the actual like mechanism or the position they were in is sometimes called the fencing response, almost like, you know, the hands, the position your hands are in when you're fencing. And actually we see that in young children when they're couple of months old, like infants, you can see them. Actually, my son Charlie actually has that position of his hands, not exactly that, but when we had took his first picture when he was first born. So it's called a fencing response, and you have it when you're a very young child, but it goes away, and it can sometimes happen when you sustain a trauma to the head or a concussion. But what I referred to is called a decorticate posture, and what that means is depending on what part of your brain gets injured by a concussion. So oftentimes in boxing, if you see someone get knocked out, their hands extend out as if they're still kind of punching. And some people may think, oh, they're still trying to fight even though they're kind of unconscious. And in reality, that's called decerebrate posturing. And it's just a different part of the brain called the cerebrum is affected by the concussion as opposed to the cortex, which is what happened to Tua. So long story short, I was referring to the way his arms were kind of spasming and the hands were kind of spasming related to the brain trauma, the traumatic brain injury he took as part of his concussion when he was sacked.
And Doc, I got knocked out, but I just went limp. Is it the same thing as just different reactions from your brain?
Yeah, just it's more of a sign typically of a moderate concussion when you get those types of things, so a moderate to severe concussion. There's a range and there's a variety of ways to kind of quantify or, you know, qualify the severity of it. But basically what he sustained was a sign of a more moderate to moderately severe concussion.
Dr. Chuck Metzger is with us. Now, I point out when he comes on with us, talk about someone's injury, he is not dealing with that patient. So when we talk about Tua and the condition, we're speaking in abstracts because he has not obviously had the knowledge of actually working with him on this. So he goes down. There's been a whole bunch of conversation today about what happened originally the previous Sunday in Buffalo when he kind of staggered back to the huddle out of that sack. So Mike McDaniel in his press conference today and the Dolphins and Tua, they've all been resolute since it happened that it was not a head injury, it was his back, and he again today, Mike McDaniel, and I do believe him, but I also believe my eyes. So I do believe, though, that when they say he was not in the concussion protocol because he passed that afternoon on that Sunday, and then they did check him for concussion-like symptoms every day of the week leading up to Thursday, and he never had any and never displayed any. What do your eyes tell you from the original Sunday after he got sacked in Buffalo?
So, you know, I didn't see the play because I was unfortunately traveling while this was all going on initially, but I did see him collapse. So in other words, I didn't see the quarterback sneak that he apparently injured his back on. But what I did see was the sack, and when he was sacked, the first thing he did was reach for his head as it's kind of snapped back and hit the turf. He got up, took some steps, and that's when he kind of fell forward. You know, what I would have expected from someone whose back was bad enough to cause them to lose, you know, their ability to walk and lock up on them would be to immediately grab at your back. And he didn't do that. He actually kind of acted woozy and kind of reached a little bit towards his helmet as if he was reaching for his head when all that was kind of going on. And so it really gave an impression that, hey, he just hit his head. He kind of feels woozy. You could call that a very mild concussion, whether that's, you know, a little bit of semantics, I don't know. But, I mean, you know, what I saw was someone who looked like they sustained a very mild, you know, kind of ding or a concussion in medical terms, and certainly not a back-related injury as to the reason why he fell. But, yeah, I mean, I agree with what you were kind of saying leading into this question was, you know, I think they both can be right in the sense that it could be a concussion and he could pass the concussion protocol in the locker room and still be able to play.
And Doc, the concussion protocol, you say like the symptoms, and I've taken it, they give you all big long list of words and then they change the topic and bring back to the words to see if you can remember. And they do all that stuff. It's a bunch of tests. But then they always give you CT scans and MRIs and x-rays. Like, it seems as if those MRIs, x-rays, CT scans should show something more than a list of questions that you have to answer to show you don't have a concussion. There's nothing medical you can do to see a concussion or swelling or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, if you see those things on the scans, it's because it's a severe or life-threatening injury, actually. So the reason you're trying to do those things is to clear the neck. So, like, they mentioned when he fell yesterday that they were taking him to the hospital for a head and neck injury. And basically what they're saying is we're trying to rule those things out. So, you know, they're trying to rule out a fracture of the neck, you know, the spine of the neck, and or bleeding inside of the brain. So their hope is that all of that is clear, and then they can take them off the backboard and the neck brace or those types of things and kind of allow him to move his head around before they, you know. So essentially they're trying to clear him is the term we use in the emergency room. Hey, let's clear his C-spine first, do x-rays, do a CAT scan of the brain. Sometimes they do CAT scans of the neck as well, which I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't do that on him as well. And so it will typically show nothing. It'll show, you know, no swelling, no bleeding. If you do see those things, that's a reason to stay in the hospital, potentially, you know, even have surgery, those types of very serious things. But I've almost never seen that with any kind of even the most severe types of concussion. So, you know, obviously what you're referring to, Channing, is before the year, they do these kind of concussion protocol baseline, you know, evaluations. They then, you know, when you go through the actual, you have a concussion or suspected concussion during the game, they'll go through those same questions and see how you respond. Also, what the things they would look for, just, hey, you see if you're nauseated, if you're throwing up, see if you're kind of hiding your eyes from the light because you have photosensitivity. And they also watch your eyes move. You know, we look for certain what we call saccadic movements, which are movements of the eyes that look, you know, are erratic. They're kind of moving quickly back and forth and things that you can't fake, you know, or hide. And those are all signs of, you know, various injuries or portions of your brain that have been injured as part of the traumatic brain injury or concussion. So those types of things are, it's just kind of a whole thing that's been set up. And I really feel like it's quite solid. I know that they're, you know, bringing up, you know, hey, should we change this? Should we get a new protocol? I think that, like I said, I think both sides can be right here. It's bad to get concussions. But, you know, if the protocol was followed, and it sounds like it was, you know, you clear someone and it's, you know, the fact that he had a quite mild concussion, it sounds like, you know, let's just assume, but cleared protocol on Sunday and then played and had a head injury again, probably set him up for a, you know, more significant, you know, susceptibility to getting another concussion. But it, you know, I don't know that it's really preventable because the cause is the actual trauma. You know, don't let him get sacked and you know, have him get rid of
the ball. It's
kind
of inherent in the game and in the position. It's difficult. But so what happened last night, because some people I thought were a little confused on Twitter, all the Twitter doctors out there, when he goes down last night, while it was super uncomfortable to watch because you don't want to see anybody lock up like that because it's, you know, you're like, oh, my God, does he have a serious head injury? When they cart him off the field and immobilize his head, that's a precautionary maneuver.
Exactly.
He would have 100% been fine. I mean, we kind of know now. He probably would have been able to walk off under his own strength. But as a precautionary maneuver, you're doing that, and then you're getting him to the trauma unit. You're checking to see if there's a brain bleed or swelling. And it seems like the reason that they would discharge him last night, he'd be able to travel home with the team, is because any of the possibilities of significant head or neck trauma did not materialize. But they did everything the right way last night. You can speak as a doctor. To me, as an outsider, it looks like they did everything the right way from the moment of the injury up until also discharging him, which is the right thing to do if he doesn't have any significant injuries.
100%. Yeah, he's clear to travel. You know, again, I know that that's all sounds like crazy thoughts if someone is unfamiliar with it and they just see what happened. But, you know, from every point of view, everything was done the way I would have expected it. Again, I've worked in the football, arena in the collegiate level, and you know, you see these types of injuries, and that's exactly what you do. You always clear someone. You take precautions, and so you know, if you ask someone what you're doing, you know, if in the middle of it, you're asked, you know, by a media member, you're going to give the report as if you're saying, "Hey, we're ruling out essentially head and neck trauma, and whether there's sustained serious injury, the person has sustained a serious injury." So exactly, and so once you clear that, there's no purpose in the patient, in this case, Tua, being in the hospital at that point. There's nothing. There's no infusion. There's no treatment. There's no surgery. There's no therapy. It's just, hey, let's just follow him and give him time for his brain to kind of recover from this. And that varies person to person, injury to injury, and, you know, all that. So,
and Doc, like you work with athletes, you know, for years now. Do you go in with, especially football players or, you know, contact sport guys, knowing they're going to lie to you? Because I'm going to lie. I'm never going to say I had a headache. I'm never going to say I'm dizzy.
Exactly, yeah. And that's why we look for certain things. We look for certain eye movements and things like that. We look for, you know, we listen for slurred speech. We, you know, look for the nausea point of view. We look for the wooziness, you know, when we ask questions, how quickly they're going to answer, those types of things. And again, it's not always perfect. And you could say, hey, maybe we could have done better with Tua in the sense that, but the reality is, he really looked okay. He came out. It's hard to come back from a concussion and fake it. You can do it in some cases, and you're right. I heard you guys talking earlier in the show today. It's like, you know, most people are relatively like they just want to keep doing what they're doing if they like or love what they're doing. Athletes are that times a million. So, you know, there's that competitive edge. There's everything about them. They want to prove themselves, all that. That's how they got where they are. So, yeah, it's always going to be hard to take them out of those types of situations. But when it comes to these types of things, you know, that's all the more reason to set up a protocol like this. But I, like I said, I keep going back to it. I really feel like both sides can be right in the sense, hey, that was a concussion. Okay, fair enough. They took him through the protocol. The protocol doesn't just say, hey, do you want to go back out there? You know, it's, or do you feel you have a headache? No, it's physical examination. It's stuff that is much harder to reproduce unless you're clear from a concussion or the symptoms of concussion. So I think that that's the best you can do. I don't know how you can really improve upon that.
Right. And then obviously if there's a significant condition like the brain bleed or whatever, that, I mean, you'll see it. You'll see it on the imaging. So,
yeah.
There you go, Dr. Chuck Metzger. Again, he's a board-certified internist in Boca Raton. He has been team doctor for FAU Athletics and chief of medicine at Boca Raton Regional Hospital. And you can follow him on Twitter, at Chuck Metzger. Thank you, Dr. Chuck.
All right, guys, thanks for having me on. Have a good weekend, everybody.
You do the same. Sound like Keith Jackson getting out of there. We got ourselves a wing-ding doodle for the weekend.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Holy cannoli.
Hawk and Crowder.
All right, about 10 minutes away from the 5 o'clock Funky Buddha happy hour on a Friday. We have covered a lot of ground since 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Yes.
Hey, starting Monday, it'll be the brand new lineup on this radio station. So 790 The Ticket, for those of you who are not, you know, on social media, 790 The Ticket will cease to exist on Monday. 790 The Ticket will be gone. It will be Spanish language conservative talk. And so the only place to get your sports, this is why we've been telling you this for over a week, the place to get your sports is 560 WQAM. It'll start every morning, 6 to 10 a.m. with Joe Rose and Zach Krantz. And then Tobin and Leroy. We were FaceTiming with Leroy during one of the commercial breaks. He was getting one of the pins removed from his thumb.
Nasty.
So Tobin and Leroy, 10 till 2, and then we'll be on from 2 till 6. And then on 560, I mean, you'll have all your sports at night. You know, the Heat are now on 560. And you get Dolphins Rewind with Solana and Hurricane Hotline, all the stuff. So starting Monday, 560 WQAM. In the line of thinking with that, I have fully switched over to the 560 text line. If you text the 790 number, I will never see it, ever. If you text that 790 number, it goes right into the ether. No one will see it ever again. In fact, you can, you know, share your deepest, darkest thoughts there. It'll never be seen by anybody.
I do that.
So I'm on the new text line, 305-567-0560. That's the new text line. Forevermore, that's the text line we will be checking. There's a bunch of people texting, test, it works. I have responded to only one person, and I was rude.
Why are you nasty?
Because the person texted, the debate today has been if guys like Hockman are wrong when they told us Tua wouldn't be plagued by injuries if we drafted him. And so I texted him back. I said, yeah, you saw that he was susceptible to head injuries more than others. You know, it's one thing to go, the guy has a weak knee. Mm-hmm. This guy apparently saw his skull. So I just said, dumb text. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, what are you doing there? Now, sometimes you do get frustrated. Solana, during one of the commercial breaks, yelled at a caller. Now, nobody calls the station anymore because we don't take any calls. Somebody called the station and did, and this annoys me too, but I walked in at the end, but then I got the whole story. Somebody calls in and Solana answers, and the guy goes, you guys are constantly mispronouncing Tua Tagovailoa's name or whatever, you know, because there is no N in Tagovailoa. But Tua himself has done interviews. That's how it's, that's the Hawaiian pronunciation. It is pronounced Tagovailoa. So somebody's calling in. It was earlier in the show. And all I do is I walk into Solana's side of the studio, and all I hear is, because it's pronounced Tagovailoa, I've spoken to him myself about it. Bye. Slams down the phone.
Solana had a rough
He's running on, what, 2 hours sleep? Any sleep?
2.5 hours of sleep. But you know what? I matched his energy because he he wasn't polite about
right,
it. He
right.
was yelling at
he was,
me.
He was giving you a lesson.
I asked him, have you spoken to Tua? I have. I'm like, okay, guy, you're wrong. You're dumb. Goodbye.
I have. The guy said he had spoken to him.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Lose our number, jackass. What happened here? It's Friday.
No. Solana, you set the tone.
Yeah, man.
Walked in with a little edge. So
that's all right.
Man, we're a team. You upset, I'm upset.
I like it. Anyway, 5 o'clock Funky Buddha Happy Hour is coming up.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Hey, bro, here you go.
Hawk and Crowder.
5 o'clock hour is the Funky Buddha Happy Hour. Brought to you by our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery. Good vibes on tap. It's Friday. We're getting out of here.
Ooh, that's it.
Let's get out of here. Had a 2-hour show yesterday, and today's show just kind of blew by in a haze.
I don't think I'm saying the name Tua for the weekend.
Tell you what, man, me neither.
I said Tua enough.
Dude flew home, yes. Watched MacGruber. If you were listening to the show, if you missed it, Mike McDaniel, we played his whole press conference in the 3 o'clock hour, about 20, 25 minutes. But he literally talked about Tua nonstop, answered every question you might have from his perspective. And Solana will have some of that for you. He's got Dolphins Rewind coming up after us at 6 o'clock. It's a little emotional here. This is the final time that my voice will ever be heard on 790 The Ticket. Because it's a little simulcast here. Had my voice on 790 The Ticket in 2004 when it first started. And if you didn't see the news as of Monday, that station will cease to exist. So the good news is you still get me and Crowder every day 2 till 6 on 560 WQAM. So there you go.
Yeah, a little departing gift. I might have a gift card in here. Or something.
Really? You got me a little something that is so nice of you. What'd you get me?
Dave and Buster's Power Card.
You got me a Dave and Buster's Power Card? You know how much I rave about Dave and Buster's in Hollywood on this show. You know, if you haven't been to the D&B in Hollywood in a while, you're missing out. It's the absolute best place to watch a game, including this weekend, all the football games. They've got a 42-foot TV there, which you've got to see to believe. They've got all the great food. They've got all the great drink specials. They've got all the great games in the Midway. But I am telling you, you're looking for a place to watch some football this weekend, Dave and Buster's in Hollywood. It's in the Oakwood Plaza. It's just east of I-95 between Sterling and Sheridan. Honestly, from the sports bar to the 42-foot TV in the dining room to all the TVs in the Midway, you will not find a better place this weekend to watch some football. Dave and Buster's in Hollywood. All right, That is going to do it for us because Solana's coming up next. He's got Dolphins Rewind. And then you'll have some Inter-Miami football, you know, proper football.
Yeah.
That is tonight after Solana on Dolphins Rewind. So everybody have a great and safe weekend. We wish you fare thee well, 790 The Ticket. Big part of my life. I see Vlad back there. He's a little sad himself. 790 The Ticket meant a little something to all of us.
I'm upset.
I don't think I'm going to go off the air right now. I think I'm going to go into the 790 studios, and I'm going to hijack it and let them come get me.
I got some things to do.
You know, you're not with me?
You
not the guy you want in your foxhole.
You my dude, but I got some things
I don't
to
think
do.
I'm your dude. You got things to do. All right, we're going to get on out of here. Everybody have a great and safe weekend. We will speak with you el lunes.
What's a MacGruber?
MacGruber!
Ground beef.
Take care, brush your hair.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.